ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Read from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, 6th chapter, text 34. Right? Chanchalam. He. Mana Krishna. Ramati. Palavat. Tritham. Tasyaham. Nikraham. Manye. Vayor Iva Asutuskaram Chancham Himana Krishna Chanchala Himana Krishna Ramati Balavatridham Ramati Balavatridham Dasyaham Nigraham Manye Tasyaham nigraham manye Vayor iva sutushkaram Vayor iva sutushkaram Chanchalam himana krishna Ramati balavatridham Tasyaham nigraham manye Vayori vasutuskaram Chanchalam himana krishna Chanchalam himana krishna Chanchalam himana krishna Chanchalam himana krishna Chanchalam flickering. He certainly. Mana, the mind. Krishna, oh Krishna. Ramati, agitating. Balavat, very strong. Tritham, obstinate. Tasya, it's. Aham, I. Nigraham, subduing. Manye, think. Vayo, of the wind. Iva, like. Sudhuskaram, difficult. Arjuna said, for the mind is restless, turbulent, obstinate, and very strong. O Krishna, and to subdue it, I think, is more difficult than controlling the wind. Third part. The mind is so strong and obstinate that it sometimes overcomes the intelligence. Although the mind is supposed to be subservient to the intelligence. For a man in the practical world, who has to fight so many opposing elements, it is certainly very difficult to control the mind. Artificially, one may establish a mental equilibrium towards both friend and enemy, but ultimately no worldly man can do so. For this is more difficult than controlling the raging wind. In the Vedic literature, Katap Upanishad, it is said, Atmanam ratinam vidhi shariram ratam evacha buddhim tu saratim vidhi manak prakrahamam evacha indriyani hayan ahur vishayam steshu gocharan atmendriya mano yuktam bhoktet yahu manishina. The individual is a passenger in the car of the material body, and the intelligence is the driver. The mind is the driving instrument, and the senses are the horses. The self is thus the enjoyer or sufferer in the association of the mind and senses. So it is understood by great thinkers. Intelligence is supposed to direct the mind, but the mind is so strong and obstinate that it often overcomes even one's own intelligence, as an acute infection may surpass the efficacy of a powerful medicine. Such a strong mind is supposed to be controlled by the practice of yoga, but such practice is never practical for a worldly person like Arjuna. And what can we say of modern man? The simile used here, or example used here, is appropriate. One cannot capture the blowing wind. And it is even more difficult to capture the turbulent mind. The easiest way to control the mind, as suggested by Lord Chaitanya, is chanting Hare Krishna, the great mantra for deliverance in all humility. The method prescribed is Savai Manak Krishna Padaravindayo. One must engage one's mind fully in Krishna. Only then will there remain no other engagement to agitate the mind. Chanchalam Himana Krishna Pramati Balavatritam Tasyam Nigraham Manye Vayor Ivasadushkaram. For the mind is restless, turbulent, obstinate and very strong, O Krishna, and to subdue it, I think, is more difficult than controlling the mind. Omagyati Maranyasya Gananchana Salakyam Chakshurun Miritam Yena Tasma Shri Gurave Namaha. Sichitani manovistam stapitamena bhutale svayam rupa kathamayam dadati svabhadantikam mukham karoti vachalam pavgumlangayati kirim yat kripatam ahamande shri gurum dinataranam. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So previously in this chapter, in text 24 and 25, Krishna made the following statement. One should engage oneself in the practice of yoga with determination and faith, and not be deviated from the path. One should abandon without exception all material desires born of mental speculation, and thus control all the senses on all sides by the mind. That's 24. And then 25th. Gradually, step by step, one should become situated in trance by means of intelligence sustained by full conviction, and thus the mind should be fixed on the self alone and should think of nothing else. So that's the response on these two verses by Arjuna. Krishna asks him, become a yogi, fix your mind, by absorbing the mind, by the practice of Raja Yoga or Ashtanga Yoga. There's one stage by Pranayama. It's the third stage. Yama, Niyama, Asana, Pranayama. Breathing exercises. Breathing in, breathing out, stopping the breath. There are three kinds of exercises. And I practice these exercises, a yogi practice this for a very long time with great determination, this pranayama. Not just for increasing the health, but actually to control the mind, to pacify the mind, to purify one's whole existence by the prana, breathing. Most of the people, we don't breathe properly, we already know. We heard so many times. Not deep enough. Not consciously we are breathing. Actually we breathe less or very superficial. And because of superficial breathing and not deep enough breathing from the navel up, the body and the senses and ultimately also the mind become weak and therefore become overcome by disease. Therefore the yogi, he knows this fact. By his guru, teaches him pranayama, breathing exercises, to learn how to breathe deeply, consciously, absorbing under the breathing process of breathing in and breathing out, and also holding the breath for some time. The beginning it's done only very little, then it's extended. And sometimes the stop of the breathing is more important than the breathing in, the breathing out. It's called kumbhaka. So he stops the breath. And the yogi, just by the stopping of the breath, because all his atoms every part of the body is completely empowered by this prana and is floating in this prana, and so in this way the yogi, he can by the power of this prana completely become fixed on the absolute truth, that means in his heart, fixed on the super soul within his heart. That means he can withdraw, at that point he can withdraw his senses from the sense objects. Another name of the senses is prana. Although in one sense prana and the senses is one, but also difference. Because without the senses, if we have no prana with the senses, that means if the eyes, ears, palate, our smelling organ, all our organs, if they don't have enough prana, the senses become weak. They become weak. And therefore, by pranayama, one learns how to make his body very strong. According to the Yoga Shastra, the body is like a clay pot, an earthen clay pot, but he's not burned yet. So he has to be burned in fire. And when the clay pot is burned in fire, then it becomes very strong. That means if water is pouring in, it will not flow out. If it is wrongly burned, or not enough burned and purified, and if it is not enough, or if it is not burned at all, then the water is flowing out. So that means everything what we do inside of us, it's gone, it's lost. Coming in, going out, and we have no energy. We don't know how to use energy properly for spiritual activities. So we speak here about the yoga process, because this chapter is the yoga process, description of Raja Yoga. Patanjali yoga process, is Krishna describing, eightfold yoga process, Astanga. And therefore the yogi, he wants to make his senses pacified and stable, so that they become peaceful. If the senses are undernourished of prana, and of undernourished of proper food, who has prana, and especially the prana, the breathing exercise, then the senses become very weak, and then the yogi, and then they become very nervous. Then the mind, who is the sixth sense, who is the central sense, will become very flickering. Will become very unsecure, afraid, anxiety, because the mind, he always wants to accept and to reject. He's an enjoyer. He's a sixth sense. He's a central sense, and therefore the mind is always trying to absorb, to give nourishment and activities or ideas to the senses. The senses without mind, it's like a body, you know, without a person who has no eyes, cannot see. So the senses themselves cannot perceive anything without the mind. Actually, everything what we perceive in this world is because of our mind. Like Bhagavatam says, mind, Rishabhadev in the fifth canto, mind is colored by the modes of material nature. And there are three main colors, as we know, yellow, red, and blue. So if your mind is colored by blue, by tamasa, then you see everything blue. The whole world is blue, very wonderful blue. And if you're in passion, then the world seems to be everything pink, pinkish, everything reddish, beautiful, amore. And if the mind is in yellow colored, in mode of goodness, then he sees everything yellow, everything very light colored. And then these colors, they are sometimes mixed, like these modes of material nature, they are mixed. And in this way, there are so many different combination of colors, like red and blue mixed gives violet. And yellow mixed with red gives orange. And so on and so on. And green also, blue and yellow gives green, like that. So in this way, the different color combinations, different modes of material nature. Because the modes of material nature, tama and rajas, they are also sometimes mixed. Sometimes tama, rajas, and sattva is mixed. In any yoga process, the yogi or the aspiring transcendentalist, he wants to attain the platform of sattva, purity, the mode of goodness. So that means free of the colors of blue and red, and ultimately even yellow or all of combination of this. And then on this transcendental platform of Shuddha sattva level, he can perceive the absolute truth. He can perceive Vishnu or Krishna. And he can see everything in proper relationship. He knows what is sat, what is asat. So the yogi, he tries to withdraw his senses from the sense objects after the pranayama, because the senses are maintained by prana, and when prana gets weak, the senses become weak. It's not that the senses are of all senses become sometimes described as also prana, but there's still a difference between prana and the senses. So the prana, the senses, they need the prana, but the prana has a separate existence, a separate element. It comes from the Lord. It is the subtle air coming from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He gives all the elements, the material elements, the gross and the subtle. And the soul is embodied in these eight elements of the material energy and considers himself a product of this material energy. But the yogi, he wants to become free of this asat nature, that means with this identification of material energy or of this material body. He's not rejecting the material body or the material world. He uses it a potter is using making an herb pot, burning it, and it is usable in the household works to carry water and to cook and to do so many nice things. So the body is not bad. The material world is not bad. Madhvacharya, he says, the first truth is the Supreme Personality of God, Krishna or Vishnu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The second truth is that it is proved or established. This truth is established by the Vedic literatures, by the Vedas, and there are other scriptures like Puranas and Itihasas, like that. But Shruti, it's the ultimate proof of evidence. And the third truth is that the material world is real. Mayavadis say material world is unreal. It's Maya. But Vaishnavas say, no, the material world is not unreal, it is real. You can touch it. It is there. It is not false. It's not an illusion. Mayavadis say, you can mistake sometimes a rope as a snake. So by seeing a rope, still you can invoke a fear in you. But the argument is, you know, the living entity is not a rope. It is not inert. It has senses. It has consciousness. It has cheta. It has desire. It has desire to enjoy and to be happy, ananda. So therefore the living entity naturally has a reality, but is now in a reality of the material world, although this is not his real nature. His real nature is to be an eternal servant of God. Not of the material nature, but because the living entity was embodied in the material nature, he considers himself, I am a product of material nature. So this is ignorance. The other ignorance is, Gita, the other ignorance is, I'm a product of material nature, but now I want to become out of it because I realize I'm different from the nature. So when the personality of the karmi becomes a jnani, that means a yogi, then he understands, I'm actually not this material body, I'm a spirit soul, I'm eternal. But then the illusion is, you know, he thinks, you know, oh, let's kick this, everything, this asat, this material, this is all false. This is all illusion, it's maya. Give it a kick. So they ignore everything and want to give up a whole material existence by having nothing to do with it. So that's the other illusion. The one illusion is I want to enjoy. The other illusion is I want to reject. I want to run away from it. I want to bloop from the material nature. I want to escape from this material nature. But it's not possible. I cannot escape from the material nature because material nature is Krishna's nature. Mama Maya Duratyaya. And it's very difficult to overcome the material energy. Huh? Although it's inferior, but it's Krishna's energy. Energy we cannot overcome as a tiny living entity because we are Jivatma. 10,000 part of a tip of a hair. We are very conditioned in this material nature. We cannot come out of this material nature on our own effort, on our own force. We can only come out by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If he gives us intelligence, real intelligence, the Dhammi Buddhi Yogam Tham, then we can come out by his grace, not our power. The yogi, he tries, of course, to come out of it. But this is, as Krishna says, is an impersonalistic way. And sometimes this way goes very, very long. It's very enduring. And it's not even a guarantee that you succeed. And Arjuna was aware about this. I'm a kshatriya. I'm a realist. I'm in the Varna ashram. That means I'm a grihastha. I'm a kshatriya. I'm a warrior. I'm a prince. I'm a statesman. I'm a descendant of the Kuru dynasty, Pandu. So I have so many duties. I have to follow my duties. I cannot be yogi. My duties are not fulfilled. We are here in the middle, beginning of the of a war. Battlefield, Kurukshetra. So my wishes, my duties, my dharma is not fulfilled. How you can, Krishna, how you can tell me now, you know, how I should just become a yogi and fix my intelligence, you know, on the self. This is impossible for me. This is, for me, very difficult, impossible. Like controlling the wind, it's not possible. Or Vishwanath Chakravarti says, you know, how we can penetrate iron with a needle. Gita Govinda, you try to pierce through a layer of iron with a needle. What will happen with the needle? A crack. Or at least it bows, you know. It's useless. It's not a needle anymore. You can throw it away. So we cannot control the mind with our own power. This Arjuna realized because he was a devotee of Krishna. He's eternally perfect, but Krishna put him in this bewilderment and to ask questions also, just to give the proper answer, the proper siddhanta, so that the true Arjuna, we nowadays can follow and learn the real process of yoga. Because later on Krishna says, yeah, it's undoubtedly very difficult to control the mind. It's very turbulent, very wild, very strong, Balavat. And he's very pramati. Nunam pramata kuru te vikarma. He's mad. He's always, how we say? Always hurling around. Very unsteady, you know. Sometimes this, sometimes that. I like this, rejecting that, accepting something else. Rejecting that and accepting that what I one time rejected, get it back. Always some change. Mind always needs to change something. But that's not yoga, that's karma. And the mind is still in the colors of material nature, red, yellow, green, violet, black, white, whatever. We are still in these colors, you know. Then the mind cannot be fixed. Then he is completely enslaved, encaged in the modes of the material nature, you know. That's a beautiful picture, you know, in the old Bhagavad Gita, where the modes of material nature, they're like marioteers, I would say puppet players, and the living entities, they're the human beings, they're just dancing and acting according to the modes of material nature, tama, Tamaguna Devi, Rajaguna Devi, Sattvaguna Devi, and they make you all acting in different ways. But above the gunas is actually Krishna. These gunas are Krishna's gunas. Therefore they are not false. We don't have to reject them. We only have to learn how to engage them in the service of Krishna. We should not become enemy of the mind, enemy of the senses, enemy of the body, enemy of other bodies, enemy of the material energy, enemy of Maya. Yeah, Prabhupada said, it's good to have a healthful fear of Maya. And of course, acharyas, they explain, you know, the Maya is a witch. She's like a witch, you know, who is keeping us in this material world, you know. That's her duty, but that's a thankless task that Maya has. To keep the conditioned souls forgetful in the material world. It's not the problem of Maya. Maya is just performing her duty of the Supreme Lord. Because Maya is under control of the Lord. It's the Lord's third energy. There are three energy, Vishnu Purana says, you know, main energies. There are more energies, 16 different ones. All under control and in the service of the Lord. But three are very predominant. This is the higher energy, para prakriti, para shakti, then apara shakti, and the tatashta shakti, the living entities. So the apara prakriti or apara shakti is Maya. It's Krishna's external energy. And because the energy is coming from the Lord, and the energies are actually always blissful, they're very creative. Parasya Shakti Vidhaya Shruyate Svabhavika Jnana Bala Kriyacha. Because they're Krishna's energy, they're very, very clever. They're very, very powerful. They're not different from the Lord. The Shakti is not different from the Lord. It's the Lord Himself in the form of these Shaktis. Mayavad is the one to make the Lord impotent. He has no Shakti. He's an old man, or he's just a voidness, or a Brahman. So ultimately, they only want to enjoy Shakti, the material energy, for themselves. You know, but they say God Himself is not existing, and has no Shakti. But the Vaishnavas understand God is always together with His Shakti. He's never alone without Shakti. So wherever therefore Krishna or His incarnations appear, Shakti is with Him. And even if the living entities, the expansions of the Lord in the material world, the Jivatmas from the Tathashta, from the marginal energy, and they come here, they need Shakti. We need this energy, because without energy we cannot live. So Krishna, from the energy is coming from Krishna. This material body has no energy itself, it is dead. It becomes survived by the internal energy. And the Maya only making this service like a shadow activity to keep the conditioned souls in illusion. But Maya is also devotee. And therefore if the Maya sees that the devotee or the yogi becomes very determined in his bhajan or service to Krishna, then she releases the living entity from the clutches of Maya. Of course, she is testing. She has to test. We should not be afraid of tests, because the tests are only meant to make us more strong, more determined, more fixed. And we should never think we are out of Maya, that I have overcome Maya. It's not a stage where we can say, as long you're not on the level of prema, when you're completely in love with Krishna, you cannot say, I'm free of Maya. Maya can always, in any way, drag you away from the Lord. And again, that you at least temporarily become bewildered from the material energy. There's a story, 11th canto, I think, 11th or 12th. There was one great sage, Markandeya. Markandeya Rishi. He was a devotee of Naranarayana Rishi. So one time Naranarayana Rishi revealed himself to him, were satisfied because of his tapasya, because of his austerities. They asked him, "So, what is your desire, Rishi?" So Markandeya, he says, "My desire is I want to see Maya." You want to see Maya? Now we are here in front of you. Normally they have all worshippers, our devotees, you know, and yogis, you know, because they want to have their desires fulfilled. Yes. Mystical powers, long life, elevation to higher planets, merging in Brahman, getting transcendental knowledge, like that. You know. But you want to see Maya? My illusory energy? Yes, sir. I only like to see your Maya. And then Narayana Rishi then mildly smiled and then say, "Okay, so be it, tatashtu." And then now suddenly there was a partial universal devastation, Sri Thakurani. And the whole universe became overflooded from the lower up to the higher planets, to Svargaloka. Everything became flooded in this temporary devastation of the universe, partial devastation. Sometimes happens due to some situation of some rishis, that they are partial devastation. And this is real. It was not a Hollywood-made motion film of a destruction of the world. It was a real thing that he experienced. And this Rishi, he saw the whole world in this ocean of Maya. He suddenly realized, you know, all this is an ocean of Maya. Samashita ye pataplavava plavam mahapatam punya yashomurarir pavam buddhi vatsa parampatam tada padam 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 yat vipatam natesham. And the Bhagavatam says, in this ocean of birth and death, samsara, or bhava sagara, it's very, very difficult to overcome, very, very dangerous. It's very, very dangerous. But you cannot overcome it. It's a very mighty ocean of Maya. You cannot overcome it by on your own. And Markandeya, he realized that. Whole world, all living entities, all creation, he saw in this ocean. No. On himself he was conscious about everything and had to see about this destruction. And then he was floating in this ocean of Maya. And at one point, you know, he saw an island. He saw an island. And on that island was a banyan tree. And on that banyan, Aniruddha, Paramatma, as a small baby, was lying, sucking on his own thumb, toe. Like a baby, you know, because he wants to relish his own rasa. Markandeya was very surprised. He saw everything is flooding. It's drowned in this ocean of birth and death, in this Maya ocean. But there is one boy, bluish complexion. He's not drowning. He's just lying there on this banyan leaf, not touched by this material energy. Has beautiful lotus eyes, nice smile, blackish hair locks, yellow, dhoti. He could observe everything. And he became very much attracted. He became very attracted. So he wanted to come near to him, you know, and try to touch him, you know. And then suddenly, this illusory devastation disappeared. Disappeared. And he was again in his place of ashram where he was meditating. And it was not a meditation, it was an illusory devastation who was reality at that time. Even if a dream, you cannot say it is not, is unreal. It also has a reality, but it's a dream. So in this way, the whole material world is a dream. But we can also say it is a reality. We are experiencing in that time when the dream is taking place, and the life is taking place, birth, old age, disease and death, and all the different activities in this world. It's a reality. We cannot ignore it. We cannot say, oh, it's just a dream, it's a maya, it's not existing. And for the devotee, is the supreme realist. He's very realistic, and he understands, yes, this is all maya. But we cannot escape just like that. Maya has a meaning. Maya is a school for us. It's a place, it's a kshetra, where we can actually function. Because we have to live in the maya, either in the material world or in the spiritual world. We have to live in a certain energy, or in a certain world and the reality. The maya is also reality. The spiritual world is a reality. The living entity is a reality. The conditioned soul in the material world has a reality. But their eternal liberated souls also have a reality. Because they're always in relation with the Supreme Lord. And the lesson of life is that we as living entities learn to understand our real reality. Our real identity as an eternal servant of Krishna. And as soon we realize that we're eternal servant of Krishna, not only theoretically, but also vijnana. Because only if we have vijnana, it stays. If we only theoretically practice bhakti yoga or any yoga process, it will go. It will not stay. That Pippalayana Rishi told to Gop Kumar in Tapaloka. So when Gop Kumar came to Tapaloka, Pippalayana wanted to convince him to become a yogi, to meditate. You should not do bhajan outside, because bhajan outside, you're always dependent on the object, and that the Lord is here to see him. You have to make so much endeavors. You have to get so many paraphernalia together. So therefore, meditate. But Gop Kumar, he thought, no, how can I meditate? You know, I want to see my Lord Gopal, the Lord of my heart. Therefore he was Gop Kumar, he was always yearning, he was very eager to meet Gopal, Krishna, as a reality, as a personality, not in meditation. So that he can worship him, that he can serve him, with all his senses, with his mind, intelligence, and everything that he has. Sage, he told, not by meditation, if you do bhajan, or external service, devotional service, or any sadhana practice, without consciousness, without meditation, it will not stay. It is only shadow of devotion. This is actually a very important point, you know. That we not only do shadow devotion or shadow sadhana, externally practicing sadhana bhakti. Because if you externally practice sadhana bhakti, you can go on for thousands of lifetimes and you don't become purified. Because what purifies our consciousness and our whole existence is the meditation, the absorption in that what we are doing. That we become conscious about that what we are doing. in your cooking, in your singing, in your distributing of books, in your puchari seva service. Any service that we do it with the consciousness. Do it not just out of routine, out of some mechanism, without thinking about it. This is the danger. This is the danger that we become too much routine workers. And if we do routine work, then we dry out. Then we become stagnated. We become stagnated. Because life is not meant for routine work. Life is meant to taste rasa. Mellows. Relationship. And this we only can do with personalities, in relationship with personalities. And especially with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If there is no rasa, you can do so much sadhana, so much activities. Nobody is impressed. But if the rasa is there, if a relationship is there, then you can do even little things and even make mistakes. You immediately get affection and attention. It means rasa is the missing point. And that is what we have to develop. Because that's what the living entity is yearning for, anandamaya. She wants to have anandamaya. We want to have rasa. Mellow. Taste, a relationship. Maivad is cannot, that they are out. And the material world, everything is only taking, giving, taking, you know. But you are the loser. And then you are frustrated. You just work hard and hard for everything, for family, for your boss, for your firm, factory, or job where you're doing. Everyone is only exploiting, sucking you out. Only one who is not exploiting us is the Supreme Lord Himself. He's our friend. But we are foolishly ignoring Him. He's in our heart, but we ignore Him. Because we are still attracted to the sweet, sour, and bitter berries of the banyan tree. That's the fact. We're still attracted to this banyan tree to get some fruit, some berries from there. And as long as we don't give our attention, turn our attention to the Super Soul, to our friend, to our Surit in the heart, and give our attention to Him, then we have to suffer always. Sometimes a little enjoyment, sometimes suffering. But as soon as we turn our face towards the Lord, turn our attention towards the Lord, then we are not responsible anymore for our own work. Krishna will take care. Then we will be satisfied. Only then we will become satisfied and happy. And that's the whole process of yoga, also in Bhakti Yoga or in Astanga Yoga. Somehow or other, we have to give the attention to the Supreme Lord. The yogi is doing in form of Super Soul meditation. And the devotee, we're worshipping the deities, we're engaging in Sankirtan, chanting the holy name, Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And I just read today, because it's a Kadasi, I chanted the Vishnu Sahasranam. And at the end of the Vishnu Sahasranam, 1,000 names of Vishnu, there is the last statement of that prayer is that we should never give up chanting. We should never give up chanting the holy name. Even if we chant offenselessly or inattentively out of some illusion or reason or weakness, we should never give up chanting the holy name. Because the holy name is so very, very merciful. And He is the only purifying object in this world. Therefore, He is always very auspicious. Mangalam. There's also this Mangalam verse, I don't know by heart, from the Mahabharata, from Vishnu Sahasra, after the 1,000 names. That the power of the holy name is always very auspicious. And by chanting the holy name, everything will become auspicious. Therefore, we should never stop to chant. To stop to chant is the greatest offense. You maybe think, oh, I'm offensive. Better I stop to chant. No, then you become a bigger offender. So you should never stop to chant. You should always continue to chant and always try in good association, getting the help, the assistance of devotees and inspiration of devotees who chant better than you to improve your chanting. And then the chant, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is Maha Mantra. Mantra means deliverer of the mind. He helps us. He takes over our mind and the senses and the intelligence. The yogi mechanically needs to control mind, the senses, and then ultimately with the help of intelligence. But then that's always struggling. The mind wants to overcome the intelligence, but it's completely unnatural because intelligence is higher, more fine, more subtle, most near to the soul. But because of the illusion of the soul, the intelligence becomes weak, then the mind becomes more powerful, taking over everything and makes a whole catastrophe. Complete pramati, madness. Nunam pramata kurute vikarma yad indriya pritaya aprinoti. Na sadhu manye yad atmanoyam asanna piklesata asateha. That's Bhagavatam Rishabhadev saying. We should not act foolishly like the materialist, knowing very well that these kind of fruitive activities will leading to hell, leading to catastrophe. Therefore, a devotee should come to goodness, should come to taking shelter in Krishna consciousness very firmly, very determinedly. And then whatever you are, in any of varna ashrama, even untouchable can become purified. Kiratu nandar pulinda pulkasha shumba yavana kasha adaya yenye cha papa aparshaya ashraya. Prabhavishnave namaha, something like that. So Bhagavad Shukadev Goswami, he says how powerful the holy Krishna is, Vishnu is, and the devotees. Krishna is very powerful. He's supreme purifying object, personality. And the devotees who are always chanting, who are in engaged in devotional service, they become completely empowered by the Lord. And therefore, by associating with devotees of the Lord without envy, without going in competition with them, in a service, humble service attitude, Trinada Visanechana, chanting the holy name and serving them in whatever capacity in their service, or if they have a mission, in the mission, then that will make our life success. And that's our only shelter, that's our saving God, to take shelter. An association of devotees, spiritual master, if he is here or not here. If he is here, you are very lucky. If he is not so much here, or if he left, it takes more money, more firm determination in remembering the spiritual master. As long as here, we can learn from him, if we are humble. If we are not humble, then we cannot learn. We cannot be obstinate against Guru or against Vaishnavas who are able to teach you. We cannot be obstinate, because if you are revolting against them, you revolt against yourself. You destroy yourself. So we have to submit ourselves. We have to surrender. Even if Vaishnava is hard, you told yesterday, even if you get the Vaishnava beating you, he's still your well-wisher, right? He's still your well-wisher. You should not take him as an enemy, because this beat or this chastisement is for our betterment, for our improvement. Actually, the Vaishnava is the only one who can chastise you. Because he is honest, he is truthful, he knows what is the truth, in which direction, so he can give good direction. But if we are foolish, we see him as an enemy. Oh, why he speaks with me? Why he is doing with me like that? Why he is behaving like that? No, this is like that. That's how Krishna set up. Guru means heavy. If he is not heavy, is he just a marionette in your hand, or does whatever you like? You know, he's not Guru. You can throw him away. So we have to surrender, not the Guru has to surrender to you. Oh, Guru, can you do this for me? Guru Maharaj, can you do this for me? Can you do that for me? Can you fulfill this desire for me? No, this is not Guru business. Guru business means to teach you, how to submit, to surrender to Krishna. And that means mind control. That's intelligence. Only with good intelligence, the Dhammi Buddhi Yogantam, the Lord giving good intelligence, somebody can surrender. Foolish people can never surrender, even they get so many good instructions. Natirna Krishna Paratoksato Satova Ritobi Vyadyeta Griha Vratanam Adanta Kobir Vidata Visitam Tamishram Punak Punak Charvita Charvananam. Foolish people don't want to surrender. Not by good lesson, not by own experience, not by mixture of both. They don't want to surrender because they know everything better. Because they're on Manuratena. They're on the mind platform. And if you're on the mind platform, then you say, oh, life is so beautiful because I'm on the mental platform. No, life is catastrophe, it's miserable because you don't know, there's the cliff, boom, you go down. A foolish man, because they're blind, natevi tu svarta katim hi vishnu. So they drop down the cliff. But the Guru tells you, don't gallop around here on the mental platform. Surrender. Come here. Surrender to the instruction. We don't want to follow instruction. But we follow all the time mental instructions, the sense instructions, what the senses tell us, what the mind tells you. We are very surrendered. We are good bhakta, mana bhakta, indriya bhakta. Very good. We follow always, very faithfully. Yes, of course, sir, I will supply this for you. I need this and that. We need this and that. Because I know you are right. Only when, if I have this and this and this, then we can be happy together and peaceful. But what will happen? As soon you get it, again another demand. Mind again, senses screaming from all sides, forgetting everything what you did. Therefore what Yamuna Acharya says, so now I serve my senses long enough. You promised me so many things all the time. But now have enough, you never fulfill the promises, you never become quiet and peaceful, shanti, and actually cooperate with my interest to become a servant of Krishna. Therefore now I'm all kicking you, I'm rejecting you, I'm not following you anymore. You can tell me whatever you like. Like if you have a madman next to you in the car, always telling you, hey this, hey that. And you're always shocked, and anxiety, what they're saying. So at one point you have to ignore him. Then he will stop to bark. As long as we give attention, always scream, telling this and that. So we have to ignore the mind in the beginning. Savai mana Krishna Padaravindo, Prabhupada quotes from Ambarish Maharaj, example from Bhagavatam, 9th canto. Surrender to Krishna, fully Atmani Vedanam, with body, mind and words, beginning with the mind and the senses. have a poet, Govindadas, Pacha Huremana, Shinandanandana. So he prayed to the mind, please fix your mind on the lotus feet of Nandanandana, Krishna. Then life is so short, very flickering. It's like water on a lotus leaf. Any time it can go away, you don't see it anymore. It looks very beautiful, like a pearl on the lotus leaf. You can admire it, you can look at it, but at one point it disappears, you know. So happiness in material world is very flickering. It's chanchala. So therefore, don't give your attention to this flickering material nature. Krishna is not flickering. He's the reality. He's the supreme reality. He's the supreme absolute truth. Markandeya. He saw everything was in devastation. Everything was in turbulence, was in ups and downs, you know, and finish. But there was Krishna. Steady, the absolute truth, not touched by all these activities. And therefore, only if we fix our mind and our energy under the instruction of Spiritual Master on that absolute truth, then we become our mind will become ultimately peaceful first, and then happy. Then he will engage, like Govindadas is praying. Govindadas Kaviraj, he's praying to the mind. Please engage in the Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Pada Sevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam. Please engage in this ninefold process of sadhana bhakti. Then our life will become perfect. Then there will be no anxiety anymore. Then you will become really happy. So, happiness is in our hands. It's our heritage. It's our nature. But in illusion, we always want to be happy in different way, as we think. And this is the illusion. The mind keeps us in the material world. He anchors us in this material world. So we have to unanchor from this samsara ocean of illusion. And then the boat to the spiritual world will be very free. We go on with full force. And then this big ocean will shrink, vatsapadam, to the foot size of the hoofprint of the calf. Very easily you can overcome it if you surrender to Krishna. Avambudir Pavambudir Vatsa Padam Param Padam 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 Yatvi Padam Natesham. Any question maybe?
Everybody here said that they surrendered, that's it, right?
Huh?
After today's class, everybody who sat here said that they're surrendering, that's all.
And therefore they go now. The thing is, you know, in the class we always say, I surrender, I'm convinced now. But if you go out, you know, the test, the test waiting outside of you. What is the next allurement? Or if you're at home. One nice thing I learned from my dear god brother, Pankajangri Prabhu. He makes a very nice point. He says, you can maybe externally show very nicely how much you're a nice bhakta you are, how fixed up and fired up you are, you know. But actually the test is, you know, how you live, you know, when nobody is around you. In public, you know, it's easy to make a show of bhakti. But the real test, you know, what you do if you're alone. Because then it's nobody around you, observing you, admiring you, to whom you have to make a show. Then it's only you and Krishna, the Super Soul, and the Four Walls. nobody else will observe you. So then we can see, and that's actually the only way how we can understand who we actually really are. That's also important. Then we know where we are. Sometimes, you know, we are criticizing Babaji's because they are not in the public, they're not preachers. But there are some that you can be a Babaji and practice bhajan and devotional service with body, mind and words. Maybe not in preaching, but in chanting, japa. For 20, 30 years in a solitary place, in a jungle, in a bhajan kutir. I don't speak about this, those who are begging around here, you know. But the real Babaji's, you know. And fortunately there are such ones here in Vrindavan, still. Who are not beggars. Who are not making show. Who are really sincere, 24 hours a day. They're engaged in bhajan, even in the dream. So like Prabhupada told, there's two kinds of Vaishnava, the Bhajananandi and Goshtyanandi. Goshtyanandi, he's a preacher. Bhajananandi, he's doing bhajan for himself. Both are very elevated devotees. Both are very elevated devotees. But ultimately, if you're only imitating the preaching activity, try to become Goshtyanandi, but actually we are not. We are pretenders. We are still attached to so many things in the material world. Then we will not become purified, even after 20, 30 or 50 years of practice. We still have anarthas, weeds in our heart, who are not destroyed, who are not burned. When the anarthas become burned, Kechi Kevala Bhaktya Vasudev Parayana. Shukadev Goswami says, Bhakti seeds are not destroyed by sadhana bhakti. It's not destroyed by vidhi. Tapasya Brahmacharyena Dhamenacha Samenacha Dhamenacha Tyagena Satya Sauchavam Yamena Nyamenava. It's not purified. It's not destroyed. You're only rooting out the weeds, but the seeds are still there. And to destroy the seeds, you know, you need fire. It's not just ripping out. And this you cannot do by sadhana. Sadhana is not strong enough for fire. You need Krishna's mercy. The pure devotional service, the pure ecstatic love, you know. Then it becomes like Niharam Iva Bhaskara, like the sun rising in the morning, the fog of fog from the night disappears. All darkness cannot remain when the sun is present. So when Krishna Surya, when the Krishna sun is present, all darkness disappears. And as long as we don't have the Krishna sun in front of us and fully fixed on Krishna, day or night, you know, we have to be in some way in some illusion. And to come out of this illusion, we have to be honest and realize, yes, I'm in illusion, I don't want to pretend, I don't want to make a show, so I really want to improve myself and take more shelter in the instruction, real instruction of Spiedelmaster, not Prabhupada Uvacha. Because Prabhupada Uvacha is not instruction. Prabhupada Uvacha, you can take this and that from Prabhupada, whatever you like. You can find for both sides a Prabhupada Uvacha quote. But Prabhupada's instruction, you know, how to chant, how to surrender to Krishna, how to be determined, how to be steady in devotional service, how to be absorbed in Krishna consciousness in the day and night. This is actually Prabhupada's real instruction. But this we don't hear so much. It's not so much preached, right? We don't hear about that. how actually we should become lovers of Krishna, become attached to Krishna, to the holy name, and take very much time and sincerity in chanting. First duty in our day is to chant 16 rounds before doing anything else. These are read in Yamuna book, Yamuna Devi Dasi, Prabhupada's one early disciples. She chanted the Prabhupada, but one time she chanted the Prabhupada, and then she explained, you know, how first they all, because she always rise early in the morning, 2 o'clock. She was head puchari. And the first thing what she wanted to do is always to chant Hare Krishna, and all 16 rounds before she does seva. So she rise very early in the morning, went to the temple. And there were many brahmacharis also there, devotees. They were all, walking around the circle, you know, chanting japa, Hare Krishna mantra. And she was always sitting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, in her way, chanting Hare Krishna mantra. Very focused, with closed eyes, very focused. Not moving, circling around, monitoring around, yawning around, be fixed on mantra. So Prabhupada came in, sitting on Vyasasan, and was observing everyone. All the brahmacharis went in circle, they suddenly came sitting straight before Prabhupada, chanting japa. And Prabhupada was looking. Then he saw Yamuna had always a notebook with her, writing down remembrance about whatever she saw was special with Prabhupada. So she thought, oh, this is a very nice experience now. She want to know down. And then Prabhupada said, Yamuna Devi, you're finished with your rounds? And Yamuna said, no, Srila Prabhupada, I chanted 14 rounds, 2 rounds are left. And Prabhupada told, first you should chant 16 rounds, and only then you can do anything else, even notes or anything, any other activities, only after you chanted 16 rounds. And this is actually very fundamental instruction that Prabhupada gave. We are many times ignoring. We are not aware about it, that we have first to chant 16 rounds Hare Krishna in the Mangala, that means in the Brahma Muhurta time. Not in the daytime or in the night, in the Brahma Muhurta time, because that's the best time to chant 16 rounds, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And if we chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in the proper time and in the proper position, not falling asleep or unattentive, then the mantra will take over. Then we'll become attached to the mantra. Mantra will have an effect. Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purna Shuddha Nitya Mukta Binatva Nama Namino. Then we can realize the purifying effect of the holy name, how powerful he is, and that he is like the sunshine, you know, taking over our whole existence. And you will have no problem with sense control at that point. It will not take place unless we are pretending. Then we can chant, and then we are thinking with the mind about so many other things. But then the chanting is for nothing. Chanting means chanting with consciousness. Anything that we do in our sadhana or in our practice, we should do with consciousness, under the instruction of spiritual master. Then it has an effect. An immediate effect, more fast and more powerful than we ever thought or think. And then we don't have to practice any other, have a doubt to practice other process. transcendental meditation or I don't know which practice, you know, to help to control mind. No, it's not needed. Because the Maha Mantra and the instruction, under the instruction of Spiritual Master, that is the best mind control. Because there is all the blessing, all the power. Therefore, sometimes when I ask Prabhupada how to please him, you know, and how to do this and this and that, so he says, chant his holy name 16 rounds and be concentrated and focused. Utsaha, nishchaya, darya, tatta karma pravartana, Rupa Goswami. Be very enthusiastic in this process. Don't be mental. Don't be morose. Don't be skeptical. Enthusiasm. Because without enthusiasm, we cannot progress in spiritual, not in material, not in spiritual life. Utsa, nishchaya, and endeavor. Be determined. Utsa, nishchaya, daryat. And be very patient also. Maybe it will not immediate full success as you think it is success. Because the ultimate purification, maybe you don't even realize yourself. Others can see, but you cannot see. Because if you will see it, you think, oh, I'm already purified. I'm already a pure devotee. Then you become, complacent. Think, yes, I'm already made, and then you give up. From there you go down again. Therefore, Krishna always arranges that we don't feel I'm purified now, I'm on the level of pure devotional service. Because a devotee never thinks like that. He's always Trinada Bisonechana. He's always very humble and meek. And he never considers himself actually a devotee or a pure devotee. Soon you think, I'm a pure devotee, you're finished. Or he's a pure devotee and I follow him, that I will become pure devotee. So, yes. You have to see who is a pure devotee, who is fixed in devotional service, but never think yourself that I am a pure devotee. They're all kinkara. Ayinanda tanucha kinkaram patita mamishame bhavam buddhau kripaya tava pada pankasha stidadulisu trisha vichintaya. The devotee in this helpless way is crying to the Lord. O Govinda, son of Nanda Maharaj, please, I have fallen in this ocean of burdened debt. Please save me from this ocean and give me a dust particle. Grant me as a dust particle at your lotus feet. That means kinkara. Accept me as a humble dust particle. That's dasa dasa anudasa. Kinkara and dasa dasa anudasa is the same. Even the gopis, in their prayers, in the Gopi Gita, you know, they chant, kinkara. Be kind to your humble servants, you know. Or also Venu Gita. And they're the most elevated devotees, but they're always very humble, very always seeking for the Lord's mercy and darshan. And kindness, and always see how others are more elevated than themselves. This is Gopi Bhav. Not cries and sentiment. Okay, so no question? Yes.
Thank you for 7:20.
What time is that?
7:20.
7:20? Okay, one question. You do Arctic? You can prepare already? Yeah, we will be on time. Can I sing the samsara?
Thank you for class, Guruji. We worship you. Aishwarya Bhakti, we
Lord
in our temple.
Vidhi Bhakti, Satana.
So, in Vrindavan, where they are worshipping with the original Radha
Krishna. Even if you give the address, it doesn't mean if you go there you will also become a Raga Bhakta. Actually, here in Vrindavan, everyone is following more or less Raga Bhakti. Raga Bhakti in the I would say Vrindavan temples. But they take Vidhi. Vidhi without Raga is not successful. But Raga needs Vidhi as an external process. To follow for yourself and also for others, that others can follow.
What kind of instruction they follow?
This is external, same like we're doing. Raga is not something externally expressed. Raga is within you. It's in the heart. It's your consciousness. You should not think, oh, you will go now in other temples and there you see Raga Bhakti. And you should not think, oh, because they have not so much punctuous time like we, they have different times, then there's Raga. Therefore, it's sympathetic to me, because I also like to be more whimsical. So, and then you imitate Raga, and then you fall on the nose. Understand? If you imitate Raga, if you are not on Raga, you are imitating the behavior of a Raga Bhakta who is maybe not so much punctuous and following all the vidis of the 64 angas given by Rupa Goswami or Sadhana Shastra. But if you follow that and you think, oh, this is sympathetic to you, but you are not on Raga, then you fall. Then you fall down. Then you, in the end, you will give bhakti complete. Because sadhana bhakti is essential, it's needed, because without sadhana bhakti, there is no question of rag. So we have to follow externally the sadhana bhakti, vidhi. No? Raga is not an external sadhana, it's an internal meditation. Yeah, and also your feeling, your rasa with Krishna, your attachment to Krishna. This is raga bhakti. It's more spontaneous. But we cannot imitate it. As long as your senses and mind is not completely purified, you cannot absorb your mind in raga bhakti. Otherwise you become a prakrita sahajya. Become a materialistic imitator of rasa, of relationship with Krishna. Sahajya is not that. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati says there's two kinds of sahajya: prakrita sahajya and sahajya who has a relationship with Krishna. All the eternal parishads of Krishna, they're sahajya. They have a relation with Krishna. But if you're imitating these eternal associates on the material platform, with your impure mind and senses, then you are prakrita sahajya. That's the difference of the sahajya. One is transcendental, attached to Krishna, the other one still attached to the body and senses, and to own sense gratification. I would like to sing.
You sing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. You can sing. We can start. Understand? Okay. Hare Krishna.